Gentlemen, thank you. It was very interesting that when I asked Ty if he would be interested in doing one of these lessons, I threw out a couple of ideas, and he chose that topic. And I love the discussion about anger. Not because I get angry. Shh, y'all be quiet. Anger is an interesting topic in many ways because maybe you ask this question, why does God give us this emotion of anger? In many ways, it seems rather pointless, at least as far as doing good. You know, Ty does a good job of bringing out the verses. The anger in and of itself is not sinful, but it's what we choose to do with that anger. Well, God, if I find it awfully hard to do something positive with my anger. So why give me that? And I'll confess to you up front, I'm not really sure that I know how to answer that question. Did God give us this emotion of anger to simply spice up life a little bit? Or does He give it to us as a means of expressing or defining what we feel when we've been hurt? Is it merely just a word that gives definition to that feeling? Whatever the reason, I think we can all agree at the least, and we know that to have anger excessively and to abuse it goes against God's will. What does it do? What are the problems that come with having excessive anger in one's life? Ty points out the verse that God says, be angry, but do not sin, giving the devil a foothold in your life. What is some of the damage that Satan can do when anger becomes too prevalent, when it becomes too excessive in our day-to-day activities? I've been on a little bit of a sports kick here right now. Maybe it's because it's football season and on the verge of basketball season and doing some personal exercising and whatnot. So I'm really on a sports kick. So I pray your indulgence for a little bit if you're not a sports fan. If you will let me use some sports analogies and illustrations to try to show at least two or three things that we lose when we allow anger to become too excessive in our lives. First and foremost, anger takes away your energy. Yesterday, it was a milestone for me. On top of turning 28, I ran my first 10K race. And I felt it this morning. But it was a lot of fun training for that, and my brother conned me into this thing back in the spring. And so I spent all summer long training for this 10K, which for those of you that are not aware, it's 6.4 miles. And it was really, when things start off, I thought this is pretty good. I had pretty decent weather in April and May, and then June and July and August hit. And I couldn't always go for runs in the morning. I'm not normally a morning type of exercise kind of guy. I like to run later in the afternoons and in the evenings, but sometimes, I mean, you folks know how it is around here. 5-6 o'clock, it's still 150 degrees outside. And when you've got 200% humidity, it feels like 180. To be in a workout or to exercise or to play a sport of any kind is draining enough. But when you add the factor of heat, and excessive heat, you lose that energy a lot quicker. One of the biggest debates in high school and perhaps even college sports right now, it comes in the football seasons, in the preseasons, when these guys are out there in the pads and the helmets and full gear playing out in the 100-degree heat. And you run the risk of dehydration and you walk away from a practice or a workout in the heat, and you are more drained at that point in time than when you get up and it's 50 or 60 degrees outside and you're working out. Folks, we talk about the heat of anger, the rage of anger. And anger is one of those emotions that if you have to put a picture to it, you get that picture of fire or of heat blazing inside of somebody. In cartoons, when somebody starts getting mad, you see the red come up their neck and it boils up to the top of their head, and all of a sudden the steam comes flying out the ears. And you know they're angry. In the same way that heat depletes an athlete during his workout, anger depletes us of our energy in our Christian walk. Think about a time when either you had a fit of anger or a fit of rage, or maybe you saw somebody close to you go into that kind of a fit. What were they like when it was all said and done? What was their demeanor? What was the air that they carried after that? Probably not a very energetic one. Because you see, when we take the time to let someone have it, to just really let our anger explode and come out, all of a sudden it drains us mentally. We can't think straight and we become tired. And we don't feel like doing much of anything else. But you know, there are some emotions that God has given to us that are meant to do the opposite. Why do you think God asks of us to experience time in happiness and joy, and even laughter? These types of emotions are the replenishment, replenish our souls. I've never heard of anybody saying that they were tired from laughing. At least not in the same way that they get tired from being angry. You find somebody who has a happy life, one that is full of joy, one that is full of laughter and great expressions of joy. Towards the end of their life, they're not weary with their family. They're not weary of this life. But you find somebody who has spent years covered in anger, sweltering in the heat of rage. Eventually, they get tired of life. Anger takes away your energy. But we're kind of hinting at the second thing. Energy, as anger takes away our energy, it also takes away our enthusiasm. Why do you think most people stop after a couple of months of working out at the beginning of the year? I think maybe it boils down a lot of it to it's not a whole lot of fun. I get people nodding their heads this way, yeah? It's not a whole lot of fun. You walk away sore. You walk away tired. And that's just not a feeling that we enjoy, most of us. We like to have the energy because especially if we have other things that we want to do, to take the time to go spend 30 minutes or an hour or an hour and a half pushing my body through this rigorous workout, I don't feel like talking to anybody afterwards. I don't feel like jumping around and enjoying the social aspects of life. And when we lose our enthusiasm for what we're doing, we tend to stop doing it. Anger takes away our enthusiasm. We all have different things that we gain joy from. The ultimate goal in finding a career is that you find something that you enjoy doing. But yet, even for many of us, we start off in a career or a job that we love it. We enjoy going to work. We like our boss. We like our coworkers. We like the scenario. We like the amount of money that we're making. And it makes for an enjoyable work experience. But then something happens. One of our coworkers just rubs us the wrong way and we become angry and bitter about it. And over the course of time, we've all met people who have become bitter about their work life. And all of a sudden, we step back and we say, well, if I don't like it, then I don't need to be doing it. How about family? How many people How many estranged family members? Maybe not in your life, but you meet somebody who is separated from their family. How many times have you heard them say, you know, I wish things could be the way that they used to be? But somewhere in the course of your family history, somebody hurt the other's feelings, or you had a confrontation that couldn't be resolved. And next thing you know, the family's divided right down the middle. Or maybe you have one or two members that become isolated from the rest of the family because anger wedged its way down in there. And all of a sudden, Christmas isn't so much fun anymore. Family reunions become more of a burden than a joy. Anger took away your enthusiasm. How about the church? How many times have we had our feelings hurt by something someone said, or maybe something someone didn't say? Maybe a decision was made that we didn't like it, and we become a little bit bitter about the church. And instead of trying to resolve the issue, instead of trying to go about it in the way that God prescribes for us in Matthew chapter 5, we just let that anger continue to boil. We say, well, if I can't get along with that group of people, I'll just kind of hang out with this group over here till I get through being angry. Well, the next thing you know, you have no enthusiasm for God's church because the anger has sucked you dry of your fire, of your fuel to serve Him. Folks, we cannot let anger take away our enthusiasm of the things that we love to do. But finally, we find that anger takes away your effectiveness. And it does this by taking away our concentration. Most of us have had, in either currently or in our earlier years of life, have had some exposure to high school sports. Sometimes I can't help but laugh at some of the taunting that I hear out on the field and on the ball court. And sometimes it gets silly. Sometimes it gets rude. Sometimes it's just flat out mean. But why does one team try to taunt another? Why does one team or one player try to stir up the anger inside of his competition? Because if you can stir up someone's anger, you take their focus off of their game plan. And instead of concentrating on what must be done to win the game, you're concentrating on the person who's got you upset. Trying to make the big play to embarrass them, or trying to get one more good hit to put him on his back. Or maybe you get upset at yourself. Playing baseball, I did that all the way through high school. Playing baseball, I became frustrated with myself many times because you have a game where maybe you don't hit the ball very well. And you think, I do this at practice every single day, day in and day out, and I can hit the ball all the way to the fence half the time. But I step up in this ball game, and all of a sudden I'm hitting 0 for 3, 0 for 4. And it becomes an embarrassment, and we become angry at ourselves for something we have done or that we have failed to do. And then we stop concentrating on what must be done. Instead, we start turning our attention inward, and we become so buried in our desire to improve personally that we fail to help the team win the game and do what else we need to do. Folks, it's the same way within our spiritual lives. When anger causes us or leads us to lose our enthusiasm, we lose our effectiveness as soldiers in God's army. Because if I spend my days being bitter about someone at church or being bitter about the some decision that I've made in my own life, some mistake that I've made, if I dwell in that and if I wallow around in that, it's really difficult to walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I talk to you about your spiritual life? How are you and God doing? When they clearly see that I live an angry life. And people are a lot less likely to try to utilize an angry tool than somebody or someone who is calmer and has a happy, joyful spirit in God's kingdom. Anger takes away our effectiveness. And so tonight, as we finish up, maybe we all need to step back and take a look. And in these times, we have many, many disputes that are going on in this world. Political, economical, spiritual. And I have to say that in my life, I don't know that I have seen a time in which people can become so heated so quickly. All the way from teenagers to senior citizens. But as God's kingdom, as God's family, we must not let anger take over our lives. We must not let the anger that we feel about a topic or towards a person take away our energy. Because if we lose our energy, we lose our desire. We lose our enthusiasm to be a part of this kingdom. And if you don't want to be here, you can guarantee that you're not going to be effective at it. If you have need to come home, God stands with His arms wide open, waiting for you to take the first step to come back home to Him. We, as your spiritual family, are standing with our arms wide open, waiting to embrace you once again. If you are not a Christian and you need to take on Christ as your Savior and have your sins washed away, we have water, I think. If we don't, we'll find it. I've always said there's no better time than the present to get your life right with God. If you need to respond to God's invitation, we invite you to come now while we stand and sing.